This episode of VoiceOvers On Demand is brought to you by VoiceOverExtra.com, the voiceover industry's online news and resource center. This is a terrific website for voice actors with the latest VO news, how-to features, calendar of events, an industry directory, one of my favorites, online home studio equipment store, you name it. If it's VO, it's there, including our VoiceOvers On Demand podcasts. Sign up for free voiceover career newsletters, too, and start receiving a free series of reports called How to Ace the Audition, at www.voiceoverextra.com. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another version of VoiceOvers On Demand with Terry and Trish. My name is Terry Daniel.
And I'm Trish Bassani.
And on the line, we have another national voice talent out of the San Diego area. Bob and Beam. Good morning, Bob and
Yay!
Beam. Or good afternoon, I should say. What's up, girlfriend?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm just hanging out here today and having a good time with you guys.
Fantastic. I had to slip the what's up, girlfriend, to make me sound like I was 20 years younger.
No, you got to say, it's not what's up, it's sup.
Oh, sup. Yeah. You know, nothing's worse than some of us 40-somes trying to talk like that.
I know, but I have a teenager, so I hear it, you know. Sup.
Sup. Sup, dog.
You were IMing earlier, and you got the LOL down. I'm like, yes, she knows LOL.
Oh, yeah. That's something to be very, very proud of.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the whole deal is now texting, too. So, you know, you got to get that jargon as well. P-I-R. Parents in room.
Oh no. I'm not familiar with that one. But you're not cool unless you're really up on the instant messenger lingo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
LOL. LMAO.
Yeah. RO, TFLOR, laughing, something like that. Rolling on the floor laughing.
Rolling on the floor laughing, exactly. Well, before we get started, of course, Bob, and my sincerest sympathy is for our Minnesota Twins defeating the San Diego Padres in a 3-game sweep in San Diego.
You did have to bring that up, didn't you?
I had to rub it in just a little bit because...
with such relish, I might add.
I know, that felt... I got goosebumps when I was rubbing it in.
Oh. Hey, remember what we were talking about with you?
Yeah.
Mr. Thorn Between Two Roses.
So I understand last night you had dinner with James and Penny Abshire, and also you were with a couple of other known names. How was that? Who were you with last night?
Yeah, it was fun. It was James Allberger, Penny Abshire, Peter O'Connell, and Connie Terwilliger, who I go back with many, many moons, and myself and our respective spouses and significant others. And we went out to, Peter was in town for some work, and we just met in Old Town last night and had a real nice dinner together. So that was kind of fun.
Fun.
Cool. That sounds like a great group.
Yeah, it was. It was very nice.
I was reading a little bit about you, Bob, and not that I was stalking you, but believe it or not, we actually do about, you know, at least 10 to 20 seconds of prep work before this show. Not much more than that. But you did get your career started in radio. Can you just tell me, because Trish and I have a similar background, tell me about what kind of formats you worked for earlier in your career.
I worked for the what was called the Progressive Rock Station in Milwaukee. It was a little 10,000 watt station in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, called WZMF. And you know, we used to play album sides. That was a big deal. This is 1970.
That was back when radio was cool.
Professional behind the mic. I was thinking about that. I've been working behind the mic for more than 3/4 of my life. So, I did that. And then I jumped to a 50,000 watt station and also in Milwaukee, and just kind of moved into, you know, my life in radio 24/7. Was a music director, a program director of that radio station, one of the few female program directors in the entire country. I think there were 3 of us at the time.
Oh, wow.
Working in, then it was called AOR Radio, Album Oriented Rock. Yeah. So, yeah, did that. And then you haven't arrived in radio unless you've been fired. So I got fired once.
Of course. They go hand in hand.
Right. And then I went to another station and worked as the music director and afternoon drive person. And, you know, I mean, did all that and left radio full time in 1980. And then 80 ran an advertising agency from 80 to 84. And then in 84 moved out to San Diego to be a little bit closer to the business, because while I was doing the agency, I started, I was not only writing the copy, making all the media buys, and doing some of the voice work, I started to do more and more voice work and started getting agents and stuff like that and working in Chicago and all that, and decided to come back out here because my sister was living here at the time, decided to live in San Diego and do the drive up to L.A. and do that whole thing. So I had all the agents in L.A., Orange County, and San Diego driving all over. And now it's so easy because we don't have to drive. We just have a 15-second commute to the studio in our home. So it's really cool.
That's beautiful. Well, congratulations on your ascension from hell. You know, when I left when I left radio, it literally, when I quit radio, it felt like I was finally released from the workhouse. I had this overall wonderful sense of freedom once I walked away from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, truly, if you have a belief in yourself, I really believe that you can make it as a voice person with the right training and, you know, any kind of capability to assimilate yourself into what is necessary to do it today and be successful. But if you it really starts primarily with the belief in your own capabilities, I believe.
Well, you guys are going to love this. I just got an email from a prospective client. Does this cost any money? I think I'm gonna put that one in my favorites folder.
Oh yeah.
God, I mean, come on, people.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Trish, you can respond to this one. I'll just forward this lead to you.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Although don't you do a few pro bono things? I certainly do.
Yeah, here and there, of course. You know, it depends on the client. He's usually a nonprofit. You know,
absolutely.
When I do it. Or it's some kid that needs like a couple of lines for a little animation project or something. They email. I get a couple of emails here and there from the UK, the people that do, because some of these kids are actually creating these Sims, you know, the Sims characters, like the it's called Machinima Animation. Uh-huh. And they're creating these movies, like, you know, only a couple minutes long, but they're like these Sims characters movies, and they usually need a couple lines of a voice here and there for their different characters. So I shoot them work every once in a while, but it's fun. It's something different, you know. And yeah, I don't think it hurts to do free work every once in a while.
I'm all for supporting your favorite cause or charity. I do free promos for the Animal Humane Society.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I do work for AIRSLA.org, which is for the visually impaired. We do Reader's Digest articles. I'm in that group with Julie Williams.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, really cool people like Connie Reed's on those, and Harlan Hogan and some other excellent talent. Frank Frederick, I believe, is also part of that group. And we just all kind of rotate around and do these articles. And there's a local TV station, a community TV station that I do PSAs for, stuff like that.
Yeah. Like I said, nonprofits. But
yeah.
Bob, and what would you say your niche is in the voiceover industry? Like what kind of work do you do the most of?
Yeah, I was just talking about this yesterday with Terry. I did a little quick
Don't
look.
Lead people on that we were prepping for this interview.
We were chatting, just trying to make sure we got this Skype thing down.
You're blowing our cover.
No, you're talking about show prep? Are you kidding?
I'm kidding, yeah.
Let's see. I think about 43% of my bread and butter business is narration work. And then another 24% is commercials. And then I think 12% is telephony, you know, message on hold and IVRs. I do a lot of IVR work.
Huge opportunity out there for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it goes from there. I love doing animation and character voices, but there is really very little of that kind of, you know, the wacky kind of stuff. Yeah. Although I really love that work, and I did get a role in an animated film, the voice of a fat woman. You know, and that's really fun. It's a film called The Melting Pot, and there's some animators from Pixar and Disney working on that, and it hasn't been released yet. I'm in one scene, and I can't wait.
Oh, that's fun. Awesome.
So I noticed that you had some training from, did I read that correctly, Jim Belushi?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, he came to San Diego several years ago and did a comedy workshop, and it was a blast.
I mean, I bet it would be.
This was way before his TV shows and everything. But, you know, he was primarily a stand-up comic at the time. And he came down, I think it was at SDSU, and did an all-day comedy workshop. And I learned so much from him, you know, just getting comedy. It's all about the beats and the timing. It's really just so fun, and improv. So, yeah, trained with him. That was more of a group en masse kind of training, but I've had more one-on-one training with some other really fantastic people in this industry who I admire and respect so much. Lou Hunt, Joni Gerber, Pat Fraley, Chuck Bloor, and others. So, it's you know, I believe in continuing education.
No question
totally.
About it.
So can you – actually, it sounds like you've obviously been in the industry for a little bit longer than me and Terry have. What are some of the changes that you've seen, of course, besides the obvious home studio setup within the industry? How much has the industry changed over the years?
I'd say pretty dramatically, you know, without rehashing what everybody already knows. You know, it used to be the kind of thing where you'd go to a studio and you'd actually be booked for a session. You'd go out to studios, you know, and there was that sense of community, because you'd run into somebody who was going in for a session, or you'd go to your agent's office and, you know, going in for an audition, and you'd have a chance to visit with people, you know, your own brethren. And that has obviously diminished in huge ways. So there's that sense of loss about it. But, you know, once again, then the internet, you know, I mean, it has made our lives so much easier. And with the gas, you know, costing a mortgage mm-hmm. these days.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, it's so much easier just to have that 15-second commute. So now it's more, our community spirit has become more virtual. But by virtue of that fact, I think that, you know, we've got many more friends out there, like, you know, how we all met. Just over the web, and, you know, through this social networking thing. That's pretty huge and means a lot to me personally, about just, you know, having that sense of connection with people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think it's great. I'm having the time of my life just because of everybody that we've met around the country. And speaking of that, I know that that you are going to be at Voice 2008. Can you tell us what some of your responsibilities are, and if there's any new information you'd like to share about the event?
Sure. Well, I'm what's called a member of the advance team, and I'm an appointed moderator by the senior staff of what we call our A team, and these are folks that are all over the country. Voiceover folks that are just helping to, you know, get, you know, all the information. So in case somebody asks them what's happening, they will have the most complete and accurate information. And everybody gets debriefed on teleconference calls twice a month at this point. And I think we're down to like 40 days and counting until the event. So everybody's getting really excited about it. There are going to be some amazing, I mean, really amazing things going on. Anybody, by the way, who is going is going to have an opportunity to, if they get a voiceover job, they will be able to partake in the use of a vocal booth there.
I was not aware of that.
I heard that they did that last year. I think Connie told us about that.
That's really helpful.
Actually, it was not part of Voice. I mean, there were places in Las Vegas that you could go to if you had a session booked. But there will be an actual booth on the premise that you can use either phone patch or ISDN. So you won't miss a beat, you know, if you're there and you have a booking. Another thing that they're having is a tech chat area. So if people want to get together and talk about, you know, technical issues or how do you deal with this, that, or the other thing, there will be people hanging around and doing that. So that's another cool thing. I don't know if I can say this. Well, I suppose why not?
You can say it. You can tell us.
Yes, okay. Tell us.
Well, I don't think I'm speaking out of school. Well, there are going to be some incredible. There's a Sunday night promo panel, and some of the, I mean, you know, the seven big voices that you hear on all of the network promos, they are going to be there on this panel.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
Anybody out there who is interested in getting into that particular line of work, and it isn't just, you know, I mean, that line of work can, you know, translate very well to, you know, working with television or radio stations. You know, you don't have to be on the big networks in order to achieve that kind of niche in your success and on your journey. So there's going to be that. But James told me, I don't think I'm talking out of school, but Eddie Carroll gave them a call the other day. Eddie Carroll is the voice of Jiminy Cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And he called them and said, "Hey, this sounds like fun. Can I come and play?"
Of course.
I think he's going to come and he's going to try and find some of his other heavy duty voiceover friends that I don't think that I can mention at this point. But there's stuff like that unfolding.
Just whisper the names, Bobbin. Whisper.
I can't.
Tell us. We'll edit this part out.
Well, just to kind of put a long story short, the calls like that and the responses like that from the voiceover people all over the country, and especially those based in LA, the thing about that is it's just so cool because these calls are unfolding and the whole scene that's going to be occurring at Voice 2008 is going to be just one big enormous party with just amazing people that are going to be there that are just so far into their careers. I mean, I just totally idolize so many of these people. I grew up listening to them. I mean, it's just it fills me with emotion and just joy, the fact that they're going to be there and I'm going to be able to rub elbows with them. That's just too cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I have to be honest, as exciting as the lineup looks, I just can't get my eyes off that pool.
Gary keeps talking about the pool.
The pool at the hotel. It's like
you can swim all you want. I'm gonna rub elbows.
Well, Trish and I our plans are to work hard and play hard as well, but you can guarantee that at some point I will be out by the pool with a pina colada.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, if I am allowed to break away for a while, I will join you.
Absolutely. Everybody's invited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Write us. Those of you that are out there listening, you know, if you're coming to Voice, let us know because we want to look out for you, you know, and it would be cool to meet everybody there. So we're all so excited about it.
Are you two having a booth or something there or a congregation point or what?
We don't actually have a booth, but the talented John Florian, who runs voiceoverextra.com, has been nice enough to invite us to kind of do a live, well, about as live as a podcast like this gets, but we are going to broadcast something from his booth at the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're going to try to get, you know, people to stop by, anybody that stops by the booth that might be, you know, a bigger name that people might recognize, we're going to try to get them on the, you know, the trusty DAT recorder and, you know, try to get a couple clips and drops, if you will, from the old radio days. We'll do some drops.
We'll do be kind of a collage of all the voice talent. We'll make it a big party at the booth and make sure that that everybody gets on.
It's going to be so wonderful.
Oh, it really is going to be a wonderful event. And of course, for information on that, is it voice.international.com? Is that the URL?
-international.
I think that's
let me get it for you.
I'm pretty sure it's voice-international.com.
Yeah, I should really
Go into Google and type voice 2008.
Yeah, that'll come up and then they'll set you up. But it really is for both beginners and voice talent and veterans and voice talent all over the country and all over the world, rather. It's going to be a wonderful event and we are so looking forward to it.
Yeah, okay, I have the URL. It's voice-international.com. You know, I was just thinking about one of the questions that you asked earlier about the industry and the state of the industry that has changed. I just had a thought about one thing that I do. It's kind of like a little burr in my bonnet, so to speak.
Oh, no.
One of those burrs that are like sticking in the old craw.
Oh, yes.
Here's what it is.
Are you going to be all right,
Bobby? The proliferation of the voice talent out there and people who are so like wanting to get into it and do it, you know, like all of a sudden you're going to be getting these queries. Oh, does this cost anything? What I've seen over the past, you know, several years is a deterioration in the talent fees. And that's something that I would like to caution anybody who is new to the industry to try and uphold the standards that have already been pioneered by your brethren out there.
Amen. How about a round of applause? That might have been the best. That's the best thing I ever heard on this program.
Oh, thanks.
Let's get the rates that we deserve.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, when you think about it, you do. You have your equipment, your training, you know, your software, a microphone that costs you another mortgage payment. I mean, you know, these are things that are the cost of doing business. And, you know, some people are good business people and some people aren't. Well, let's just try to be all good business people about this.
I agree.
Mean, aside from the artistic, you know, which obviously is required. You know, but, you know, let's be good business people about it all.
Well, Bobbin, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. And thank you for taking time out of your Friday to visit with us. And we are so looking forward to meeting you in person at Voice 2008.
Well, you guys, thanks so much.
I'm glad to finally get you on.
Yes.
We've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah. And you guys are just so wonderful. I've been listening in about a year. I don't know. How long have you been doing this?
Well, actually, it hasn't been quite a year. I think it's been I think we started in August, Terry?
Last summer.
We started.
Okay.
I know we started talking about it last August, and I think we recorded our first podcast sometime in September, actually.
Yeah, it's not quite a year.
Yeah, we'll have to do something.
I believe I started listening to you like right from the beginning then.
Wow.
So.
Well, I tell you what, for our one-year anniversary, we're all going to Amsterdam. We're gonna take all of our listeners on the VOD jet, and we're gonna head to Amsterdam.
Right.
Have you seen the VOD jet, Bobbin?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's impressive.
Now, Terry, why would you want to go to Amsterdam?
Anyway, you both have a great weekend, and we have to head over to Rob Siglimpaglia, who actually has some great information on our brand new Legal Minute. So we have to head over to him. See you later, guys.
Bye.
All rise. The Honorable Rob Siglimpaglia, is now presiding.
This is Rob Siglimpaglia with a Legal Minute. One of the questions I'm asked quite frequently as both a voiceover artist and an attorney is, how do I prevent myself from getting stiffed for payment of my services? Well, this question has become more common because home studios have quickly turned the voiceover business into a global industry. One reason this question is tricky is the legal concept of jurisdiction. We have 50 states in this country, and each has its own laws. They have their own courts in each of the states. And each one of those states' courts does not necessarily have authority over citizens of other states. In general, in order for one state's court to have jurisdiction over someone, that person has to have some contact with that state. As an example, I'm in New York, and I'm doing a voiceover for someone out in California. I record the files here, in New York, and I send off the completed work to California via email. Then I don't get paid. Well, unless that California individual has some contact with the state of New York, I would have to actually sue them out in California. Now, that's hardly worth it for the typical voiceover job. So in order to protect myself, or for any voiceover artist to protect themselves and to get some leverage, they need a jurisdiction clause in their standard contract. That clause would basically say that the law where you're located applies. So in my case, that would be New York. And that the client out in California, for my example, would agree to submit to the jurisdiction of the New York courts. That way, if they didn't pay, I would be able to sue in New York, and that client would have to actually come out here to defend. That would give a little incentive for them to make a payment, and gives me a little leverage. This is one of the many legal issues that the new voiceover business has brought to the forefront. This is Rob Sigampeglia with a Legal Minute for Voiceovers on Demand.
Hi, it's Trish, and you've been listening to VoiceOvers on Demand with Terry and Trish. We appreciate you tuning in to our podcast. Join us every week as we discuss different topics of the voiceover industry. And for more information on both Terry and I's voiceover demos, resume, etc., check our websites. For me, Trish Bassani, it's voiceoversbytrish.com. For Terry Daniel, universalvoicetalent.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.